What are you going to do tonight? Are you going to sleep here?
Mary's going to stay, she said, tonight.
Tears well up in John's eyes. He holds them back. This is rural Ireland.
How old are you?
Make a guess now. You
not,
see,
not a day over 85.
86. That's what he is now, yeah.
You look great.
On his way to 87.
You're very fit. Your mind is good. You know exactly what's happening.
You know what's happening, yeah.
Nothing like this has ever happened to you. Thank God before, but for it to happen to you now.
Gosh, this is it. On the end of his years.
You should feel safe in your own home.
Louise, you just said it there. You should feel safe in your own home.
Society, that's the society, I'm afraid, Damien, we're living in today.
That's the trouble. Yeah.
These guys are living amongst us, looking for an opportunity to hit our most vulnerable.
And there's a wicked busy road, but it seems they knew at the time. When 10 o'clock comes, the road quietens a good bit. But from 7 on up to 9:30 or 9:45, it's a wicked busy road. They weren't on it there. And if there's days gone by, there was a chap for driver. He was cutting all the bushes on the rail and he must be going to paint it. He would have seen something. He was gone.
There's the little dog now.
Ah, poor fella. He knows he wants to go to bed.
I get up and have a look around the house. The thugs have left some mess. Neighbours are cleaning, tidying. Peter O'Donoghue is John's neighbour. He can hardly talk with the anger. He was robbed 30 years ago, something similar to John. Peter is distraught. This is rural Ireland.
What did they do with the bleach? Did they use bleach, Louise?
They used bleach, yes, Damien. They
just to clear the fingerprints. Oh, yeah.
They went through all his personal belongings and doused bleach on all his clothes and things that were...
These are professionals.
Oh, yeah.
These are lads that have done it before,
but
obviously.
They wouldn't great experience because the other door going out that way. There are two bolts on the inside and a year lock. All they had to do was pull back the two bolts from the inside. They could have walked out that way. They didn't know that at all.
They were locked in.
So they locked themselves in.
An experienced robber would know that, he would. Or he would.
So they had to get out the window, did they?
They went out the window again.
They came in the window and got out the window.
Went out the window, yeah. Yeah.
Peter, when you hear John's story, he's a strong man.
And a great neighbour. And to the terror of the thugs of this country come in. Sorry.
Terrorising people like John.
Yeah, and as well as that, our law system, I think, is completely out of date. We had guards, detectives here today looking at the scene. If these thugs are brought in front of a judge, did the judge see the scene? He didn't. So how can he decide what penalty these fellas should get?
And then they'd have to go to the poor GPP. Yeah. He never sees it at all.
You were broken into 30 years ago, so it's very raw still.
It is raw and will be raw. And now this is after bringing it all back again.
Peter can't say any more. He doesn't want to. I leave the house. The neighbours will stay for as long as John wants. They'll support him through this. Because that's what neighbours do. Because that and this is rural Ireland. A Fianna Fáil election candidate and Waterford councillor, Eddie Mullican, was disqualified by the High Court in 2017 from acting as a company director for 7 years because of his management of a family hair salon business. Eddie Mullican, Councillor Mullican, fair play to you. You've come in to talk about it. I appreciate that. Tell me and tell our listeners, please, what is the story?
No, what I would say is it has happened, Damien. It's caught me deep remorse, deep embarrassment and probably deep shame.
Yeah.
And I suppose from that point of view, it's been something we've had to deal with as a family.
How upsetting has it been?
You can see. Look, I suppose it's been hugely upsetting. We worked through it. We've a beautiful 10-year-old daughter. She arrived in 2009 and kept us together as a family.
Jenny Keane, I don't get to ask this question first as the opening question in any conversation or interview I do, but when was the last time you had an orgasm?
Oh my God, that's so brilliant. My goodness. Well, not today anyway, not yet.
Not yet. Nothing this morning, no?
No, nothing. Well, maybe not the type of orgasm you're thinking about. I mean, I was having a swim in the water, you know, so...
So there's different types. There's different types, is there?
There is. There's so many different types. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you can't actually...
Do I need to name with you?
No, yes, I do. I want to talk about that in a minute. But so you can't remember. So it mustn't have been great, was it, if you can't remember it?
Oh, no, I definitely remember. It was only yesterday.
And I suppose that question, it gets to the heart of it. It's not a smutty question because it gets to the heart of a lot of the matters that you have been dealing with.
Obviously, it would have been better had I not said it, Damien, let's be honest. But I don't think it will be sensationalised by some. People will make more of it than it actually is.
So you think people are making a mountain out of a molehill?
Well, I do, but I'm saying people have all their own opinions, and I can't, you know, I can't form an opinion for somebody else. What I can say is that people know me, Damien. They know what I'm about. They know that I'm somebody who is focused on the future. They know that my singular sole focus here will be what can I do for the people who elected me in Waterford, the big mandate that I got, and that will be, I won't be distracted by anything other than getting the best that I possibly can for Waterford.
Some people will say they don't know you. Like, you're an intelligent, shrewd person. You've spent 20 years building up your persona. Mm. Was it an idiotic comment or was it something that expressed your feelings?
I don't see it in that context, Damien. I think it would be unfair for the people who do know me. And I think the vast majority of people in Waterford do. You don't get 20,500 votes in a constituency, Damien, if people don't have a sense of who you are. Listen, it was exuberance. It was a celebration night. It was emotional. It was all of that.
But you were,
and it was in the context of a time period where I was reflecting on Kevin Lynch, who was a young man who was giving his life at the time.
We'll talk about Kevin Lynch, yeah.
And that's the context in which it was said.
He's from Dungiven and he spent 71 days on hunger strike. He was actually in the INLA. He was one of the three on an INLA member, so he wasn't an IRA member, an INLA, and the INLA had serious problems with the IRA. So maybe you know the IRA and apology for saying what you had to say.
Well, I was talking about Bobby Sands, and I was talking about all of the hunger strikers, but the reference to Kevin Lynch specifically was the fact that he was a candidate in Waterford. And listen, Damien, these things happen. In the context of an election celebration, all sorts of things are said. Obviously, I would have preferred had it not been said. But it's a distraction in some respects.
Okay.
But it's not a huge issue.
Okay, I know you want to put this to bed. So we'll get it over with then and get it done with, okay? Like, did you or your director of elections, Michael Doyle, think about not asking people to record what was being said? Like, you knew there was phones there.
I didn't see anybody recording it, I have to say.
Okay. And you didn't think about it being recorded?
Well, it's one of these things, Damien, when you're given a speech, when you're very emotional and something is said, I never even thought about it and forgot I even said
it. It wasn't a
conscious thing. It was a throwaway comment in some respects at the end of what I felt for me personally was a very emotional speech talking to Sinn Féin supporters. And I think most reasonable people, Damien, will see that. And, you know, I've dealt with it. I've said what I've said. And I have moved on already.
Is there any criticism?
I'm focused on the future.
Yeah. Is there any criticism of the person who took the video and sent it out?
Absolutely not.
No criticism of that?
I'm not getting involved in any of that, Damien. Okay. I'm not one for dwelling on things. I'm somebody who just... is very focused on what I want to do and what I can do
I know.
The next time.
And that's part of the issue, that some people believe this is a big issue, okay? And the perception is one thing. You know, in politics, perception is very important. And Sinn Féin cultivate a very successful image and have done that successfully very well over the last 10 years in particular regarding developing that vote. Like, you were here in the studio yesterday. You never mentioned anything about that comment. Mm. If you'd regretted that comment after you said it, you would have said, by the way, I said something last night. I just want to say, I regret making the comment. So, are you only coming? Are you only coming out now because it went public?
But that's a bit of a stretch, now, Damien, with respect, because I even forgot I made the comment. I wasn't sitting there yesterday reflecting on everything I said, talking to my own supporters last night in a private capacity in a function where we were celebrating an election result. So I think that would be a bit unreasonable and a bit unfair. What I will say is that I was at a press conference yesterday where there was a lot of journalists there, and I answered the questions. I was on the Tonight Show last night on Virgin Media. I answered the questions. I'm sitting here before you today. I don't hide away from anything.
Okay, Damien, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to get you to lie on the couch, and I'm going to get you to lie on your left shoulder, and you need to drop the trousers and the underwear to roughly your knee level. Okay?
Okay.
I'll give you a hand in case you're in trouble.
And you're going to use the gloves here?
Yeah, I'm going to put on the gloves here, and you just need a little bit of gel on the gloves to make it a little bit more comfortable for you, okay?
Okay, so I'm lying on my left shoulder here. What's the gel? Sort of a lubricant?
A lubricant gel, yeah. Your hand there, are you okay?
Yeah.
Nice and comfortable?
As comfortable as can be.
Okay, now, Damien, tuck your knees up to your chest, like the fetal position there a little bit. Okay.
Like
now, I'm just going to look to start with. And, Damien, a little bit of gel now. And on when I say count to three, there'll be a little bit of discomfort down below. Are you ready?
Okay. Hold on a second. Okay.
One, two, three. And I'm just checking the prostate now, and we're finished, okay? Oh. Right there, so they're comfortable, and you can sit back up nice and slowly, Damien, okay? Are you okay after that?
Yeah, yeah, not too bad now.
Okay.
How did...
Okay, all felt good, Damien, okay? So when I was feeling there, I'm looking for a smooth surface on the prostate, and I'm looking for any abnormalities. So usually when you run your run my finger along it, you feel a smooth-ish surface. As you get older, it bulks out a bit. I'm also making sure it's semi-soft, like the tip of your nose, kind of a cartilage in texture. But if it's stony, very, very hard, we're a little bit more concerned. So we're looking for lumps and bumps, kind of like a mollusk on the side of a boat, that kind of a situation. And we're looking for the consistency, hardness or not hardness. So all felt very good there.
Okay, so I've now got onto the back of the sulky. Thomas, you're coming with me, aren't you?
I am.
Don't leave me on my own.
Hold on there.
Hold on there, I'm holding on. Jump up there now. Okay, so we're now
easy enough, light.
Okay, we're picking up a bit of speed. We're going out on the estate.
Lovely day for a big summer's day for Jay. Lovely day.
What's the thrill of it, or what's the beauty of it,
To be honest, like my father done it for years. His father done it. It's just a tradition, basically. It's just like cyclists loves their cycling. People love running. People love swimming. We just loved it. This is everything for me. Just to yoke up this pony today and go out for a swim with yourself, Damien. It means a lot.
She slows down going over the speed bumps and everything.
Ah, she's well used to it, yeah.
And have you raced her now a few times?
No, I never raced her, to be honest. As I said, she's not for a racing, basically. She's only for basically my own majority of a satisfaction. Like,
does she ever get spooked on the roads?
Not really. That's why I even open. I have everything open on her head. She can see everything. She have everything open. So that much can spook her.
And do you ever get cars beeping? There's a young lad waving there over there with the mammy. You ever get cars beeping at you and shouting abuse at you?
Yeah, we get some people that don't understand what it is like. And some of these probably big posh lads that, oh, look at them travellers, look at them driving horses. Like, Jesus Christ, I prefer to be out driving the horse than out driving the new car. Like, that's where we are. We prefer to be driving the horse than be driving the new car.
What do you do for a living? What do you do for a crust?
It depends on it all, don't it?
But how do you manage, though?
The social welfare feeds us and feeds the horses.
And what about work? Would you ever do a bit of work?
I would if I could get it. If I could get someone to give me work, I'd do it. Being a traveller again, it's hard. They don't want to give travellers work and stuff. Just the one usual routine over and over and over. Traveller this, traveller this, traveller that. Look, we're just getting used to it now, to be honest.
So,
What speed are we going now, would you say?
We're doing about 20 miles an hour, sir.
Okay, so we're out on the main road.
We get out the countryside now and she'll relax better. Another man there, Buddy's horse.
What's his name?
That's me, Buddy Pierce.
Hello, great, Pierce.
Great friend of mine.
So what happens? Traffic is building up now behind us.
Traffic is building up behind us, ready? So we'll wave him on. We'll get into the bike lane in and wave him on.
What about cyclists? Do you ever have...
We never had no problem with cyclists, no. Like, he gets a lot of beeping and abuse at times as well, I'd say, for being holding up traffic and stuff. So I think we're nearly on the one page together. Do you ever see that?
Why are you exiting politics?
The primary reason I'm retiring is because I want to spend more time with my family. And that's the truth. I'm getting emotional now because I'm thinking, but...
That's okay.
I'm a passionate person, right?
Take a drink of water. Yeah. Take a drink of water.
I'm a very passionate person. Anybody that knows me, I am. I fight my corner, and I have done over the years. But I put family first. And I always have done that as well. And I've reflected on that recently. And I know I need to do more for my family. So I've made this decision. I'll come around now in a minute and I'll be grand. Okay. So I apologise. But
it's the first time I've ever seen you crying.
That's the reason. And
do you cry often?
Yes.
Do you?
Yeah.
Because you're an emotional person.
An emotional person. And I'm not ashamed to say that.
Yeah. No, you're not.
I cry when I win. I've won county finals with Portlaoise, I've cried, and I'm crying when I sat. And I think that's important for people to do. And the last month has been very difficult on me. But I am very happy in the decision I've made, because I know it's the right one. I've done a lot, and I've done the best I can for Waterford and for Portlaoise. But I need to do things for myself and my family now. That's the way it is.
Tom, welcome back.
Damien, how are you?
I'm all right.
I'm glad to be home. That's all I can say. After spending nearly two months in hospital, I said it was a nice joy now to come back and meet my family today and all my neighbours. I had a fabulous reception. And
we're standing out here in the sun and it's lovely and it's gorgeous and it must just feel amazing.
Well, to be honest now, I was going to do an impression of the Pope today and kiss me driveway. But I said I won't. My daughter came out and gave me a bear hug. My wife and my son. And I said it was a thrill now to go around and individually talk at social distance to my neighbours and thank them. Even when I was in hospital, they looked after me, bringing me in homemade meals. And again, I'll take this opportunity. And I know I'll talk to you in further detail, yeah, but to thank all the staff in Waterford Regional Hospital or University Hospital Waterford. I can't say enough about them. They actually saved my life, actually.
They said that they were walking home from school and that a bunch of four kids came across, stood in front of them. My little girl, Holly, she said that first they put the gun to her face and I think adrenaline happened, you know, the fight or flight. And she obviously, I'm so proud of her, she chose to fight, whereas I would be a flight. And she said she just screamed. She said she felt it from her toes, she felt it from her knees, from her chest, and she just kept screaming, go away, go away, go away. So at that point, she said the gun lodged and they looked away from her because I think she's the smallest of the three. She's quite petite, she's very small for her age. And they stuck the gun to her friend and it dislodged and she got shot in the ear. At this point, I wasn't...
It went off?
Yeah, she was shot in the ear. That's why she was holding
her
ear.
Like when you say dislodged, discharged.
Discharged, sorry, yeah.
No, that's fine. I know you're nervous about this, so just take it easy. You're nice and relaxed. I know, because you're reliving the moment.
Yes, yeah.
And you can feel her pain. I can feel it. And
fear and...
The trauma.
The trauma, and particularly considering what had happened on that road, you know, everything is going through your mind. And then also the fact that this wasn't my child, I was taking care of her, you know, I was responsible for her safety. So
what they were saying to you is that the gun discharged and she literally got shot on the side of the head, on the ear.
Yeah.
By?
Four boys. Yeah. So.
Oh my God.
Once I was able to establish, you know, like I got them calmed, I brought her downstairs and I had asked her if she had ever had... I had an orphan for kids in my house. I asked her if she ever had it and she said she had, so I gave her some of that. The next thing I did then was I got straight on the phone to the Gardaí.